Quick! Does anyone know a good social justice warrior? I know I'm offended, but I can't remember why. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
My, oh my, what a wonder.
Everybody knows Zippity-Doo-Dah, the Disney classic, but it's kind of hard to place which movie it comes from.
Zippity-Doo-Dah.
That's all right. Happy cherry blossoms to you,
Peach. Early Disney films are known for being racially problematic. From particularly offensive depictions of Japanese soldiers in early World War II propaganda.
No, wait, please. Japanese customs say, always shooting a man in the back, please. Oh, thank you.
To Fantasia, where the dark-skinned centaur named Sunflower plays servant to the light-skinned centaurs and has since been cut from the updated version of the film. To the blatantly racist Native American tribe in Peter Pan. But the worst one of all has been locked in the Disney vault for 30 years. The Song of the South takes place on a plantation in Georgia in the 1800s, where African Americans and Caucasians live in blissful harmony. There seem to be no problems at all on Grandma's plantation, and that's exactly where the problem is.
Or do they teach you to talk like this in some Panama City sailor bar, or is this getaway day and your last shot at his whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Last hour on a Thursday, I believe. And I'm so grateful for today's show, Triple Slam, with Chris Ann Hall, Mike Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center, and one of our favorite people on the planet, Dr. Duke. From the Dr. Duke Show, Dr. Duke Pesta, we're so happy to have you, and also Uncle Milty. I'm just one blessed girl. What can I say? Really, really happy all of you are with the show today. This is just so fun. Dr. Duke Pesta, so glad to have you back on a Thursday.
It's just fun.
It is. I just played Total Nimrod talking about Disney movies and how I didn't realize this growing up. You know, when I watched a movie, I just watched a movie. I didn't realize all of the political messaging that was crowded into my very politicized cartoon. And Song of the South seems to be one on their list, besides Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's Rice, and some of these others, and Elmer Fudd. This seems to be one of their big problems, because Disney's going to purge us of our hate today by switching out our Splash Mountain ride to permanently indoctrinate us against racism.
Yeah, I think that this is really funny. How are we correcting our racist past? Uh-huh. We are correcting it by erasing black people left and right. Aunt Jemima, she's gone. Mrs. Buttermilk, she's gone, right? Song of the South, it's gone. Have you noticed this? That the way we white people fix the problem is to take all of these pieing images of African Americans back 100 years ago when there were none and erase them. And I've got my own version of Song of the South. Are you ready?
Okay.
Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. I am black and I must go away. Plenty of stupid coming our way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay. How about that?
That was perfect. Thank you. I feel less anger and inner rage and against my white guilt as we speak. Disney, I never knew. You know, I grew up at Disneyland, and my uncle even partaking in helping to animate the forest in the Disney movie Snow White. And you know, this is so amazing to me. After growing up there, 40 minutes away, we went there for everything. I never realized from 1989 on that Splash Mountain was some some ode to Song of the South. It never even crossed my mind. I just thought I was on an exhilarating ride where I was drenched with water and fell off a cliff. I didn't realize that I was politically indoctrinated toward my white guilt and reflection of that I needed more black wokeness in my life. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we should thank Disney for really helping America to purge our white guilt and to have us understand, even on a Disney ride, that we need to be reminded about how woke we're not. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah, do you notice whenever they have these really serious exposés of racist culture, the narrators become dumber and more childish sounding? I mean, what happened to the days where we used to have, like, Walter Cronkite talking about... No, you've got... They picked a social justice transgender girl from a mid-tier college in Idaho to... I mean, she sounded like she was five. I mean, the more serious the issue, the dumber they have in terms of the narrative. And we talked about this last week. So, okay, so you're going to take things like... Aunt Jemima, right, who was 100 years ago, when there was no representation of African-Americans anywhere, where to put an African-American on a product you wanted to sell to Americans could actually hurt your business. They bravely did it. And 100 years later, we've erased her. We've talked about Gone with the Wind, right? Where you have the very first African-American to win an Oscar. And what is Amazon's position on that? We can't ever let you see it again. This is the stupidity of the American left. And, you know, I want you to play the clip as soon if you can do it now. Great.
I've got this.
The president of the founder of Black BET TV is just honest guy coming out and saying, we're all laughing in your faces.
Here we go.
The people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists. The way I look at it, people having fun that they can go out and pull down a statue and have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, saying, oh my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important to us. They're taking down a statue of a Civil War general who fought for the South. In my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this.
Amen. Amen to the founder of BET, Bet.
And you know what? Yeah. White people have deserved to be laughed. We should be laughed out of civilized society. We were talking during the break, and I pointed out that when you see these rickets-riven soy boys prostrating themselves, kissing the feet of jack-booted Black Lives Matter thugs behind masks, you actually ask yourself, how in the world could this culture, this soy culture, have ever intimidated anyone? I mean, how did white supremacy manage to be a thing when you look around at the remnants of it now and how just puerile and pusillanimous that all is? I mean, it's pathetic. And, you know, there's a new Pew poll out, and this will blow you away. They've done a survey. They've polled literally only 1 out of 6 of the protesters in the streets. Just 1 out of 6 are black. 5 out of 6 are white. And this is literally what they're doing now. So this exponentially higher numbers of white people engaging in this stupidity. And as the founder and CEO of Black Entertainment Television said, you think you're doing something meaningful, you're being laughed at. If you're not the people who aren't laughing at you are crying because this is so pathetic.
Yeah. Uncle Milty?
They've been attacking a bunch of statues and monuments in the South to a man named George Washington. Right. Carver. they see the name George Washington. They don't understand the Carver part of it.
Yeah, it's this kind of nonsense over and over. And what strikes me is their reasoning, okay, and their thought process, because it's so surface. And I think we need to remember that, the surface of, I got your back, you are abused, and I'm going to go out, I'm going to destroy something in your name, because it shows that I'm one with you. Because that's honestly, I think, some of the intent. Now, the other ones that are paid, not so much. The paycheck's, you know, probably king. But I know some leftists that think this way. They actually think this way. We need to understand
It's also incredibly paternalistic and racist. What you're basically saying is, we white people are going to tear down, pile into the streets and tear things down, because this seems to be the only language that black people can appreciate, right? It's like these white people think they're being applauded, right? They think that black culture is just so in awe of this brand, and you're fighting dead bronze statues. I mean, I mentioned last week, too, you had that situation at a Portland high school, Portland, Oregon, where a bunch of dumb kids pulled down a statue of George Washington, decapitated, Thomas Jefferson, excuse me. They decapitated the statue, and they were beating it with baseball bats, yelling at it like it was a living thing. This is the kind of bravery you get from these soy boy Black Lives Matter white protesters. They'll beat up any, there's no statue. There's no immovable bronze statue anywhere that will fail the wrath of soy boy lefty pajama boys, right? I mean,
yes.
they'll beat any statue out there with bricks. This is about, or with bats. This is the level at which these paternalistic idiot white people, young white people, are operating.
Well, look at what they're going after so far. They're going after statues. So for every statue they down, we build three more. Okay. They delabeled a syrup. They're going after Uncle Ben's rice. And they are trying to take down Elmer Fudd. This is about the extent of what their mission is. If you really think about it, I hope we don't feel too defeated by that.
Well, the woke ESPYs, right, with that idiot Megan Rapinoe as the MC, the one that's still griping about unequal pay after two federal judges have now slapped them down, the woke ESPYs took an 87% dive this year.
Really?
Nobody wants to hear this stuff.
No way. Oh, that's great. That is great.
And then you've got these darling white actresses who've been doing voiceovers and for black characters on TV, who've conscientiously walked away from it. Newsflash, honey, it's a cartoon. The cartoon characters are black. No one sees you behind the screen. So what are you exactly doing here, right? It is a sacrifice that is utterly unnecessary and nobody even pays any attention to.
And no one cares. No one literally cares. I mean, this is about the fight that they put in on this. And yes, I realize freedoms are eroding. And yes, there's some things going on here. But look at their mission. Go ahead, Uncle Milton.
Everything they're doing is backfiring on them. A predominantly white, progressive Minneapolis neighborhood vowed as a neighborhood not to call the police in any case.
Really?
Yeah. So now they have 300 homeless people living in tents in their neighborhood.
with signs on their yard that say, rob me.
Yeah.
And most of the homeless are white.
Yeah.
Rob me now. Because we have agreed not to call the police. I mean, my gosh, you might as well just say, no gun lives here. We're open all night. Yep. Come on in.
On the national stage, you just saw the Democrats in the House and Senate refuse to even consider a bill that would address some of the problems with police. They don't want any part of it. So you've got the Democrats now prohibiting any progress on what is a perceived problem with the police.
Yeah.
And it had 80% of what they included in the House bill.
They just don't want Republicans to be the ones responsible for it.
Yep.
So rather than let the Republicans and Trump get credit, they're telling their own constituency, you're out there doing this stuff. We told you to do it, but we're not going to pass any legislation for
you. We'll be right back. More with Dr. Duke and Uncle Milty.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm really grateful for this. My joints don't hurt as much, and I have a lot more energy and focus. I've been amazed at the difference. I'm working on weight loss right now, but most importantly, first and foremost, I just want to be healthy again, and I'm feeling better and better every day. I'm sleeping better, too. You know, I kept hearing about it on the radio, and I just said, you know what? This is fantastic. Everybody is saying all of these things that I'm trying to fix. And I said, I know this will work. And sure enough, it has. It really, truly has. So I'm very grateful.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Everything is satisfactual. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah. Zip-a-dee-ay. Wonderful feeling. Wonderful day. Yes, sir. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah. Zip.
Oh, I love it. I love Zippity Doodah from the Song of the South. I hope everybody can get a hold of that DVD somewhere, somehow, and watch it with your kids, because it's just a tremendous movie, and the actor did a tremendous job at singing this song. I don't think he was forced to do it, and I think he did it. I think he was handsomely paid to do it, and I don't remember all of the racism that I incurred from watching Disney movies early on. Welcome back to the show, Uncle Milty and Dr. Duke Pesta. How are you?
Good.
Good. I still like my version of Zippity Doodah.
I really do. I mean, I ought to play that.
Version. The woke version. That's right. And you know what the implication is, too? That stupid video you opened the show with, or the audio you opened the show with, with that weird little
girl.
Preteen announcer.
Uh-huh.
The idea here that you're basically saying is that despite the horrors that have been visited on African Americans, in the 19th century, the fact is that there could be no joy, right? That there could be no other side to that.
Right.
That we know for a fact, and I'm not saying this is a good or a bad thing, it's a historically true thing, that there were many freed slaves who stayed with the families for whom they were slaves, that rather than to go out on their own. This idea that the only approvable, for white people, the only approvable attitude of 19th century African Americans had to be consuming misery, even though it's only about 5% of American families who ever owned slaves.
Yes, and by the way, one of the first slaves that came over in the 1600s to the colonies earned his freedom, because that was usually the case. They earned their freedom after about 8 years, and they were given a couple of items and sent on their way. And so it was servitude. That's basically what it was, kind of this little kind of known contractual thing where they could actually earn their freedom. He earned his freedom, and he became the first slave owner, and he was black, that had a black slave that pushed the court system in the colonies to approve the fact that a slave would be owned forever instead of just the servitude for under a decade. So we never talk about that piece of history ever, ever. It's amazing to me.
You know, on the one hand, we talk about, paternalistic white liberals talk about black culture as being so soulful, the joy of black gospel singing, the talent of black vaudeville actors. And yet when it comes to representations of them in our mainstream movies and our music, according to the Brahmins of today, those have to be expunged, because the only thing we should be allowed to see about people who blacks in the 19th century is chains. That's the only way, the only lens through which we must be able to process them. And again, this is the warped, overtly racist mind of liberal progressive Democrats.
Yeah, I don't remember this guy singing, because he looked pretty joyful as he was getting paid handsomely to do it. I don't remember somebody cracking a whip telling him he had to sing and him crying as he's having to sing that song. I mean, my gosh, when we look at these movies, these people were paid very, very handsomely, black or white, to be in film, and they wanted to do it. So if somebody was really against it in black and did not want to be in a film because they thought it was a racist statement, they wouldn't have been, even in good old America. So
it's the hashtag equivalent of well, I mean, I had to sleep with Harvey Weinstein or I wouldn't have gotten that role. And we're supposed to be like, oh my God, you poor thing. You were willing to prostitute yourself with a really unattractive man for riches and fame. Oh, you're such a victim, right?
Yes, exactly. Uncle Milty, you know, so true.
The people who grew up in the era where they got to see that movie, Song of the South, have been singing Zippity Doodah for 74 years in that man's honor.
Well, and let's be clear, things like the Aunt Jemima logo, the Song of Saga of the South, all these things, however primitive they look to us and perhaps regressive, at the time they came forward, these things humanized black people. They put a human face on black people. They showed the world, they showed their fellow Americans, that blacks were complicated, multifaceted groups of people that could not be reduced to just tyranny and slavery, that they had personalities, ambitions, talents, Right. In the times those things came out, those were really, for lack of a better word, progressive.
Yep.
And the
yes.
fact that now, 100 years later, we know better because we took an undergraduate course in racial politics is pathetic. And the people, again, I go back to where I started here. You know, zippity-doo-dah, all right. I am black and I got to go away. That we have to erase those images now. The one that gets me is the Emancipation statue in Boston, mm-hmm. which showed a number of freed slaves that were kneeling or just trying to rise above their chains while you had Lincoln encouraging them to. And mm-hmm. there's one little social justice warrior talking about that statue who said the following. It was something like, look, notice how he's standing and we're all kneeling. This is oppression. Well, it's not oppression if he's helping you to your feet.
Yes.
It's not oppression if the position that you occupied before the coming of Lincoln was one of utter prostration.
Yes.
This is a hand up. This, not a negative symbol, but you can't see that in your arrogant wokeness and limited education.
And herein lies the problem with gaslighting 100 years after this isn't our problem, our generation's problem, but they want us to fight the fight of a previous generation. This is the exact problem, is they can't decide how to solve this or how to gaslight it further or what to do about it. So it looks like it's randomly, bizarrely going after the achievements of black people that they've made in the last 100 years instead of their, I don't know what their ultimate goal is, but I do have a caller for you. Caller, go right ahead. You're on the line with Dr. Duke Pesta.
I just quickly, anecdotally wanted to tell a story. Yesterday, I had an appointment. I'm a sales guy. I go to people's homes, mm-hmm. and I walk up to a garage with a very large, very old, big black guy, and uh-huh. I thought, this is meant to be. I sat in his garage for an hour. I'll just cut it down. Retired 35-year New Jersey police officer, also covered Martin Luther King's wife as a detail
nice.
For her, and mm-hmm. had other cool stories. And in 1 hour, what we found out is that we didn't have perfect alignment, but in all the core fundamentals, mm-hmm. we saw it the same. The yep. main contention I needed to make and hear a response from was, who is defending America today? America is not racist. There are racists in America. And he said, that's exactly right.
Nice.
And this man blessed my life yesterday. It was a real cool God moment because I'm politically involved. I you know, this is important. And to have had that interaction, but I knew that's the comment. That's the norm. That's what's really out there. The yep. news is so misleading. That's what's out there. He and I shook hands probably 50 times yesterday. We'd had so much fun.
Nice.
Just connecting. It's just, I don't know.
Thank
I felt like
you.
I needed to share that story.
Thank
today.
You. That made my day. Thank you so much. What do you guys think?
I love that. And the whole time he was telling the story, I imagine that cute little bluebird on his shoulder, that fella's shoulder. Right?
Yes.
And you want to call that paternalistic? Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, that's a guy who has some perspective, a guy who laid his life on the line to protect African Americans, like the wife of Coretta Scott King, over the course of his police duty. And I was talking to a black assemblyman, Hill was his name, the other day, and we did an interview, and I said, I'm going to ask you something that in any other context, I'm going to make a statement now, that in any other context might be seen as dangerous. I said, is it not true, Assemblyman, that the fact that you have all these people in the streets, including a number of African Americans, who are blatantly assaulting cops, who are burning down buildings, who are looting, who are tearing down statues, and there is not a single force in this country that is willing to even chastise for it, does that not itself undermine the entire claim of white supremacy?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, absolutely it does, right? I mean, it does. If we were white supremacists, we wouldn't allow any of this.
Right?
This would not be allowed to stand. You would have huge competing all-white riots trying to shut this down. You don't have it because we don't have a problem. This entire Black Lives Matter movement right now is fueled exclusively by microaggressions, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the statistics of the FBI statistics, that what, last year it was 11 unarmed black people were killed by cops. Significantly more white people were killed by cops who didn't have weapons on them. And just because you don't have a weapon doesn't mean you're not acting like you do. Meanwhile, 104 black people were shot in Chicago just over the last weekend. No one gives a rat's rip about them. I think that the founder of BET, he was talking about that. He didn't finish the thought, and I understand why he didn't. Mm-hmm. But the thought was, you're tearing down monuments and you want us to be proud of you, when the reality is there are these deeper problems that nobody's paying attention to.
Amen.
You know, that caller's experience, one of the things about me, and I've always been really strong in this belief that we're not racist, is because I've had dozens of those experiences in my life with black men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Dozens. I mean, once you get to talking to somebody on that level, if you do that, the whole racism thing flies right out the window.
So
and you go back to Kate's opening, that opening she did about that weird little social studies person, right, announcing this. And what she was making such a big deal about was what? It was an amusement park ride.
Right.
It was a fairy tale movie. And she's talking like that, that she's narrating, as if she were narrating the Holocaust.
Yes, exactly.
Right? No, it was a stupid ride at Disney World, for God's sake.
Thank you.
But you saw that level of white bread angst over this because, again, she took one racial studies course at Bowdoin University in Maine. Now, all of a sudden, it's like the same gravitas for something that you just look at it. Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is what you're spending your intellectual capital on.
Yes.
A 80-year-old Disney film. You're telling me that you've got these woke gangster films where women are treated like hoes, where caps are flying into the butts of police officers all over the screen, where they're portraying horrible role models for African American children. You got nothing to say about that, right?
Yes.
You'll go back to that poor little fella in his bluebird and you'll start castigating Disney for that. Although if there was ever a company that deserved this woke shaming, it's Disney.
Well,
they're the ones who own ESPN, right? With all their all that nonsense.
I think it's so funny because what they're doing is they're changing it to a newer film with a black princess, and so they're going to make the set as you're traveling through your ride, right? You're supposed to notice that they changed the color of the princess, and that's supposed to purge you of your hate. And I was laughing at this because I've never realized that as I was, you know, terrified that the cliff was coming and I was going to go down it and get completely doused with water. But really what the ad should now say is Race Mountain at Disney, you know, and a ride that may last 60 seconds, political indoctrination for your life, you know, lifelong political indoctrination is really what it's about now. Because I didn't realize I was going to be messaged on every ride that I go on at Disneyland.
Well, you know, the other thing that has to be pointed out with is the intentions of Disney here are not racially pure. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They see at this moment that all the money, all the rebranding, all the other corporations have gone woke. So what are they going to do? This is about protecting the brand. This is about, like you said, boasting on a ride that no one's ever going to pay any attention to.
Right.
Something that they won't even see. It's going to go by so fast, no one's going to even see it.
Yeah.
This is be able to capitalize. This is virtue signaling to keep the cash registers cha-chinging.
So
oh, wait, I mean, that rhymes. Virtue signaling to keep the cash registers cha-chinging. I like that.
We need a new slogan for a shirt. I'm running out of shirts. I got so many slogans now because of, I don't know what's my priority. And I guess we'll get back to this when we get back off the break is, am I supposed to be more concerned with my white guilt, or am I supposed to be more in fear of a virus that's never coming to get me? I'm not quite sure which. I'm sure that Dr. Pesta will clear this up. We'll take your calls, 888-673-1450. Uncle Milty, can't wait to get his thoughts on that. What should be my priority today? My white guilt or my fear and my indoctrination into wearing a mask? I'm not sure.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. Together.
Gotta see Uncle Milty. Oh, you, Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney, you don't have it right. We are steeped in hatred for each other, and no, we cannot live on the keyboard in equal harmony.
You know, we really did go through a period of time there, though, when we were acting like it was over. Racism's over.
Yes, you would. I mean, my gosh. I mean, I think it has to be 200 years is the mark. I think, you know, you have to get a certain, certainly ahead of this 200 years to be able to stop talking about it.
Hey, I got to tell you, the Ebony and Ivory song has got to go. I mean, the white keys are twice as big and twice as fat as the black keys. They're made out of ivory, not something else. And the fact is that ivory, Paul McCartney is a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And so ivory comes from animals you have to slaughter. That song has got to go.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that one. Oh, by the way, get over to Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is a great supplement. You can get 30% off and free shipping if you put in the code Kate. And this is a supplement you're going to love. They had 10-step process, and that 10-step process actually makes sure that you're getting the very best chemical-free vegetables and fruits that there is. And I think this is an amazing thing that you get to take part in right now. And this is the summertime. Make sure that you're getting enough fruits and vegetables in your diet, but make sure you get over to balanceofnature.com. I've got to mention, because I tell you what, we need a supplement. We need a supplement. Our food supply is just junk. And the stress that these issues that we're talking about today are creating in our systems right now. I think a lot of you are gaining weight. I think a lot of you out there are unhealthy, like I am, and all of us are. And it's Balance of Nature that I count on. And this is a fantastic supplement. Put in the code Kate, get 30% off and free shipping. I want to talk a little bit about just on the health thing alone. What did Uncle Milty, what did Biden say today?
Well, you know, there's always talk about him being locked up in his basement.
They
say it's because of COVID, but not to hide him from the
dementia
public.
Or, yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So today they let him out of the basement, and he went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on a little political jaunt. And he announced that people don't have jobs. They don't know where to go. Uh-huh. They don't know what to do.
Right.
And now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Oh, my gosh. That wipes out the whole country. Because we had 150 million deaths from gunshots.
Yeah. So we're gone.
We're done. We don't have any more population.
I would like to call that a slip of the tongue. But when you're dealing with Joe Biden, that has really creepy connotations. Lock up your daughters, people.
But
when you look at the picture, if you ever get a chance to go to the Fox News and look at the picture of that, Milty, he's wearing this black mask that was supposed to be on his face. He's wearing it down around his chin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so he can talk, right? Now, number one, he's already infecting people. And number two, he looks like the ghost of Jacob Marley from the old Christmas Carol.
He does,
when he undoes that and the bottom jaw drops out. That's exactly what he looks like.
Oh my gosh.
This is the thing with Joe Biden. I mean, so here's Joe Biden who says we have 120 million dead from COVID, 150 million dead from gunshots. Then why are people worried about jobs? And he's also the same Joe Biden who is telling you simultaneously, look, people don't have jobs. Well, they don't have jobs, Joe, because of the overblown COVID thing, which you're pushing. You're castigating Donald Trump for not wearing a mask. We're all going to die because Trump's having a rally in Tulsa. But then, lo and behold, we have no jobs. Why? Because people like you, Joe, keep people locked away inside and won't let them go to work.
That's it. Amen. We have such a problem. I told Uncle Milty earlier in a local hour I was going to start a new company and leave radio, and it's going to be called Dumbask, the mask company, because we are having such a problem in America understanding what's going on. And I even had somebody running for governor in my state that was basically this message: wear it because we said so, wear it because you love America, wear it because you love our state, just wear the mask, why don't you? And I just thought to myself, we are in such a world of hurt right now because this is a physical manifestation of our stupidity and our ode to what is exactly going on in this country. And that is that other forces are truly against our liberty. And when you buy into that, you wear the mask and you walk around as a virtue signal because we're in the heat of the summer. This is not a time when virus is rampant and people are not dying around us. So what are your thoughts on this? I can't wait to get thoughts from both of you. Dr. Pestle, let's start with you.
Well, I got to first tell you, not to twist topics on you, but I got to first to tell you there is a huge problem I've just discovered. Mm-hmm. I am looking at the Twitter logo right now. Mm-hmm. It's a little blue bird. It's a little blue bird. This is a subliminal and also overt callback to that little racist bird that followed around that black singer. Jack Dorsey must be held accountable. Yeah. For this tragic racism.
Oh, my gosh. It should have been, it wasn't a white bird.
No, it's the same little bluebird tweeting around. I mean, what a way to reach back to our racist past, Jack Dorsey, and to signal your hatred and hostility to black people by making that same little bluebird your corporate logo. We need reparations immediately for this. Jack Dorsey needs to go the way of Jimmy Kimmel. Give us a sarcastic apology and go away for 2 months. This is unacceptable.
Amen. Amen.
To answer your question, yes, with a little snark. Yeah, I mean, the threats of COVID and the realities of COVID to anybody who's paying attention are not the same thing. Yes, there are more people getting it because people are getting used to it. This is what you call herd immunity, right? Mm-hmm. The numbers are going up, and all the numbers are going up in terms of people getting it, except the numbers of mortality, the number of people on ventilators, the mm-hmm. number of people who have to go to the hospital because of this. Yep. Yes, more people are getting it. And now that we know, Andrew Cuomo, not to stick sick people in nursing homes, the mortality rate's going really down. And what you're doing is people are becoming we have that Italian scientist who said, mm-hmm. seems very clear to us that this newest strain, with every new iteration of this, it's weaker. Mm-hmm. It has less effect on human beings. This is the way it's supposed to play out.
Yep.
And yet to people like Joe Biden, right? 120 million dead. And but you can't go to work. And that's all Trump's fault, right?
Yes.
Trump's responsible for the 120 million dead. Mm-hmm. Trump's responsible for being no jobs. There's no connection between those two things in the little Tweety Bird mind of Joe Biden with his little Jacob Marley scarf around his neck. That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, amen. Uncle Milton? Yeah.
No, the epidemiology of this virus is no different than any other virus that has come before it.
Yep.
It starts out really bad. It uh-huh. becomes more and more innocuous as time goes on.
Yeah.
The weakest in society who are struck the hardest are over it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it declines to nothing.
And it's smart because in Oregon they're saying that the black people should not wear the mask and the white people should. So what message is that supposed to send?
So again, we're erasing black people in the name of social justice, right? All you white people, the Oregon government thinks you're going to die, right? The Oregon government thinks we're all doomed because of Trump's lax policies. Mm-hmm. And so everybody in Oregon has to wear the mask except black people because they might be afraid of social or racial profiling. So again, what are we going to do? Let's expose the black people to what we think is the killer disease mm-hmm. in the name of making them feel welcome and equal.
And
total sense.
They mm-hmm. actually say that the people of color are more susceptible
exactly.
to it.
So if you care about people, you don't want to put a mask on a black person.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, okay.
You would rather have them die in greater numbers uh-huh. than to be perceived as putting them in a position where they could be horribly mistreated by police officers.
Oh,
or okay. shop owners.
That's right.
Alrighty then. I did put some documentation up on the Kate Daly Show page that shows that we never were even close or even in the ballpark of ever reaching a pandemic by their own standards, by their own documentation and their own studies. The HHS actually dictates that 30% of the population under their pandemic 7 structured plan, that 30% of the nation needed to be ill in order to put on some of these constructs that they wanted to be able to do. And by the CDC's own standards and their coding, they actually code every epidemic, right, that comes along. And we didn't even meet the moderate tier. We didn't even meet the first tier. And the first tier had all of the not recommendation, like schools closing and all those things. The only recommendation it gave on the lowest tier that we didn't even reach was the fact that a sick person should isolate themselves from everyone. which
right,
we already
and on
do.
Top of that, you had the right. American Navy deploy these two hospital ships to both sides of the country, never used them. Mm-hmm. You had these huge parks confiscated, millions of dollars spent to outfit a big park, a big place in Central Park, never used. None of this was ever used. Mm-hmm. There was not a single hospital. All those ventilators we've bought that Trump is now giving away to Brazil because we never used them. All of these hospitals that never got close to the breaking point, right? They were given what they need. All these other hospitals around the country that stopped seeing other people, stopped scheduling other surgeries, got nowhere near even crisis levels with this stuff. Right. And yet, in spite of all of that, we're being told that this is coming back. It's going to be worse. It's never going to end. Already, the university I teach at is having second thoughts about letting us have live classes. We're going to have to, you know, all this social distancing. We're going to have people use huge lecture halls for 25 student classes, have plexiguards everywhere. They took a poll of the faculty. How many of you would want to, the progressive faculty, most of them don't even want to come to campus.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous. They want to stay home.
Well, you know, did you know that the first CDC mandate in March, one of the first, said that it was masks or social distancing. If you couldn't be 6 feet away, then you wear a mask. It's interesting how all the states got together and decided to go out of the gate with social distancing and a mask and plexiglass and whatever else they dreamed up in armor to wear. It's kind of amazing how way overboard they went, even to the simplest of a guideline like that and the pukiest of the guidelines that the CDC actually puts out. It's kind of interesting.
Well, watch this too. If indeed Joe Biden does win in the election in the fall, watch how quickly everything that they say is dangerous and risky what with the election of Biden will be immediately healed, right?
Right.
Boy, it's amazing how much more under control things are now that we've got a Biden presidency, how much more efficiently we're dealing with this, how the moderate now the cases are. Boy, that's what good leadership will do for you. That will be the narrative.
Yes.
Yeah. A state government announced yesterday that if state employees have to wear masks in the workplace, unless they're willing to wear the plexiglass shield instead.
Oh, good hell. You know what?
But one or the other.
I have to say this, too. Dr. Uliano, when interviewed, this was a few years ago, when they said, oh, we might get a seasonal flu outbreak that's super big. This is what he said, and I can't make this up. This is from the influenza division, actually, that he works in globally. He said they estimated upwards of 600,000 deaths occurring per year from seasonal influenza. 600,000 deaths, and nobody blinked when this came out. Nobody said a thing. Why? Because it had the word flu attached to it. If you attach the word mysterious COVID-19, now all of a sudden it's a killer disease that's smart enough to know whether to attack you or not in Walmart, whether to attack black people versus white, whether to go after you, not after you in a riot, but after you at church sitting in a pew. I mean, we're talking about the smartest virus around. It's amazing how when this was said with the flu, not even a single blink in America.
That's right.
600,000 deaths.
This is being used for a lot of more than anything else, all of this, and we saw it in Joe Biden's comment today. Joe Biden wants to have his cake and eat it too, even though he wouldn't be able to blow the candles out anymore. And he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He wants to be able to blame Trump both for COVID and for employment, as if they're two separate issues. You elect me, I'm going to fix COVID, and I'm going to take COVID more serious than Trump does. Lock us down. But I'm also going to fix the jobless problem.
Even though he's been in government since 1967 hasn't done a damn thing. Now he's going to go solve all of our problems. I always love how an incumbent always goes out of the gate with, I have all this experience, but I haven't done anything, but now's my time. It's very interesting to watch.
The Bidens and the Bernie Sanders of the world have a lot of experience and little to show from it.
They haven't done one thing to restore liberty, but now they're going to. Amazing. And now they're going to fix us. The government's not supposed to fix us. We're supposed to fix ourselves. I always so appreciate having you guys on, man. Go ahead.
They're going to remake the movie The Stand.
Oh, no.
The original movie, it was a super flu that got everybody. In the new version, it's going to be the super COVID.
Super, or how about just the super stupidity? We just go with the go full moron aspect now and wear the full bodysuit, I think. I think that's exactly what we should do. Dr. Pesta, you're a gem. The Dr. Duke Show, check it out. It's going to be playing in just a few minutes, actually, like 2 minutes, right on the Kate Daly Show Facebook page. I love this.
Thank you. We'll see you on Monday, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. Right. Thank God you bless. So much. Man, I laugh hard when he comes on. He's fantastic. Dr. Duke Pesta, the Dr. Duke Show. Oh, my gosh. Can you just believe all this that's going on? Thank you, Disney, for purging us of our hatred and anger and our racist nature, I guess. Man, tomorrow, Joel Skousen, Alison Armstrong, doubleheader. And thank you, Uncle Milty.
Uh-huh.
You're the best. Mike Meharry, and Chris Ann, thank you also. Everybody, be faithful, be fearless. Have a good one.